You're connected to CMN Network.
KEAX Mobile.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
KEAX Mobile.
Connected to CMN Network.
K8RUH. Well, it feels feels warm today. Go figure. Yep, it's almost double the temperature was yesterday at this time. Good morning. Yeah, I walked out and I went, oh, nice out today. Just looked at the thermometer and it says 32. I'm like, well, not that nice, but still, I'll take it. So how are you coming along this morning? Is your on to Quinner, approaching your turn?
Oh, I'm on Stevenson, almost to the office. I am about 3 minutes out.
Look at you trying to catch the worm.
Yep. Sooner I get there, the sooner I can go home.
Good morning. I think that was Dakota. Huh. Well, that's nice. I got the same starting time and quitting time regardless. I mean, it's kind of flexible in a way, in its way. But, yeah. So, Dakota, what's up with you? Just getting underway? Or are you on your way or what?
Good morning. Yeah, I woke up at 6:30, got out of bed, got ready, went to the gas station, got my Monster, and I am turning back on the 53.
Quick turnaround. Yeah, Sean, I have a solid start time and solid end time also. I just making a joke that, you know, if you don't get there, you can't get out of there. So it'll I start at 7 and leave at 3:30. Not a big deal.
You're connected to CMN Network.
All right. That's, by the way, that little recorded voice is going to be handy with the way the 2-6 sometimes drops and say, you know, I haven't heard that in a few minutes, in a while. Better check the connection. Anyhow, yeah, I'm 7:30 to 3:30, but we only get paid for 7.5 hours a day. We're in a 7.5 hour day, 37.5 hour work week. Man, I'd love to get that extra half hour every week. You know, so amount to 2.5 hours of pay every week. I mean, it's not the end of the world. And they'd probably say, sure, you know, we'll let you do the 8 hour days. We're not going to change your annual salary. So that's probably how it'd work out. Dakota?
Yeah, back in my early career, I was hourly but salary. Like, it was an 8 hour cap per day. And it was basically salary with overtime. So if we had to work a week or something, approval, and we could work, you know, how many hours they permitted. But the guy I worked with, we were so busy, we would just eat lunch in our office and not take lunch. racking up that extra hour every week, and every week I hear, like, why are you guys getting more money than the rest of the techs that make the same amount? Like, we don't take lunch, we just work 9 hours. Like, you can't do that. Like, okay, well, that's pretty stupid. We're grown men, I think you can make that decision for sure.
That does suck, but being on the other end of it and figuring out budgets and things like that, I understand why. But, hey, guys, I'm going to hop out of the car here. Once I get in, I'll hop over the phone and catch up with you guys in a few minutes. This is K-E-8-R-U-H.
All right, Anthony, we'll catch you in a few. But, yeah, that's kind of the way I've been my whole life. I'm always... I shouldn't say that. I was straight up hourly for a while, but but you worked 8 hours every day, and you got paid overtime. And now I'm, I guess, salaried with overtime. You know, we work over our, for us, 7.5 hours, and we work over 7.5. It's time and a half overtime. So, and that lunch thing is actually, I think you have to take it. During the blackout, we had, or was it the blackout, or was it the, it was an event. I think it was the blackout, and we were so busy with stuff, we weren't taking a lunch, I remember the boss at the time, he comes in and he says, I'm docking you for that because you're not allowed not to take a lunch. We about had a fit. He was citing some sort of law. I don't know if it was the union or if it was some sort of, like, you know, Michigan employment law, but, he handled it all wrong. But still, I always remember is that you're required to take a lunch, at least at our place.
They gave us some spiel like that, too, and I can't remember what it was. I think it's if you're hourly, you're required to take a lunch. It's your salary. You only get paid for a day. If the lunch takes an hour, something like that. I don't know how it works out.
There have been times where, you know, you just get busy, you lose track of time, and next thing you know, it's an hour to quitting time. And I just said, well, hell with it. I'm just going to work a half hour and leave. You know, I'll take my lunch at the end of the day. They don't like that. And if you do it all the time, you get called on it. But I have done that a few times. I just don't think they like it. Or I don't know if there's any reason why you can't, as long as you take it. But, you know, is it a lunch if it's the last half hour of the day?
Well, the flip side of that is they mandate that you take one and that you don't get paid for it and that you can't work through it and get paid for it. So what difference does it make if it's at the end of the day? I did that yesterday. Granted, it was 15 minutes. I left at like 3:45. But my wife has been sick for a week, so she went to the urgent care last night to get a steroid injection. So I left early to go home and grab the kids so she could run out before traffic and, you know, before it got too bad. And I just took my lunch at 3:45 and left. So, I don't know. Labor laws are so annoying. It's the employers just want to get everything they can out of you.
I find it's kind of a cat and mouse. You know, our employer is pretty good about stuff like that. But then you get, the abusers, the people that look for every loophole or every reason, abuse it. And so then, the labor, then management has to come down with a memo or a rule or something like that to account for the people that were abusing it. And so now everybody's screwed. And it's always a cat and mouse game between management, and particularly in a union shop. You know, and so everything gets spelled out. And it's like, you know, you have to do this. You have to do that. You can't do this. You know, if this is going to happen, that's going to happen. So you get these, you get all these draconian rules, you know, because, you know, it's the abusers and then the reaction to that to stop the abuse. It's not always the case, but in my opinion, in my experience, that's pretty much always been the case.
It only takes one to ruin it for everyone.
I tell this story frequently, but my brother-in-law was a high-low unloader. And that's important to this story, up at the Romeo tractor plant and for Ford. And he used to brag about how he'd go into work, and you know, they complained about how they weren't doing enough work. So they sat down and said, well, how much constitutes enough work? And they said, well, you should at least get 3 trucks done, unloaded a day. So that was what became the standard. You would come in, you'd unload 3 trucks, and then they'd go home. And, you know, he pet day trade or whatever he was doing at the time. And then he'd either go in to punch out, you know, again, all sorts of abuses going on here. But he got his 3 trucks done, so that became the standard, you know, because they were complaining and they weren't getting anything done. Now they're like, well, it's almost like a we'll show you. And then he'd come in, he'd punch in, and they'd say, well, you know, well, Chris, not enough work got done. We need somebody to work a double. So he'd punch in again, unload 3 more trucks, and then he'd go sleep. Then he'd punch out, you know, and he worked a double. And it's like, you need to brag about this. I said, you realize that, you know, you're going to destroy this industry. You know, you and the likes of you. You know, you will literally destroy this. And, you know, and it's come to fruition, basically. It's not all gone, but, they are not the big dog that they once were.
Yeah, even a lot of what I do is just productivity monitoring and production and performance KPIs and things like that. And even in my setting, right, like you think it would be pretty hard to get caught not working unless your product is terrible, but I can tell exactly how much you worked that day. And, you know, a forklift, I got cameras in every shop. We know how much people are working.
Big brother in the sanitation industry.
Unfortunately, I don't know how it became this way, but this is the world we live in where people want a paycheck for doing nothing.
Yeah, and that's my point, you know. It's like, you know, the cameras aren't there because everybody was, you know, whistling, you know, Dixie and snapping their fingers and, you know, just pumping out the work. The cameras are there for the other guy, you know, the guy that got away with it, the guy that was sleeping, you know, behind the shelving unit or something, you know. And now everybody has to, you know, pay with, you know, the draconian monitoring. And, you know, so now, you know, and now, you know, somebody says, you know, geez, I just needed to, you know, do this or that. And, you know, I couldn't because of this or that reason or something like that. And it all evolved to get there. I mean, I'm always a little bit more pro-labor, not necessarily pro-union, but pro-labor than pro-management, but I realize labor is responsible for much of the evils that they have to endure. Otherwise, if there wasn't a need, we wouldn't have a lot of the rules and stuff that are there.
Yeah, and as someone who falls right in the middle of those 2 categories, there's no innocence on either side. Management can overstep very easily, but they also are responsible for, like you said, managing the labor force that is abusing the system. So it's just the nature of humans.
KE8RUH.
Anthony, manager of humans, speak.
Oh, I'm lucky enough these days to no longer have to manage humans. I'm on an island these days, which is fantastic because over the years I've managed upwards of 20 people, and it's not fun. People are people. They make life difficult.
That is a fact. I told my wife my next job is going to be a remote job if I leave here because I just don't want to deal with people anymore. On another note, Sean, this is not... This is not being annoying, but I just want to make sure that the duplexer is good because my return window is closing. I'm not saying tune it up, get it ready, and, you know, hand it over, but being that it's a $98 Chinese duplexer, I just want to make sure it's good in case I got to exchange it.
Yeah, I got you. I got you, and I got a bad couple of weeks coming up here. I'll find a way to get it on the bench. I got... field work all today, and I got field work all tomorrow, and then next week I'm out of town. So, but I'll have, hopefully I'll have some time. I'll get it figured out. I don't think I need more than about an hour on the whole damn thing. I just got to find that hour. I got a situation that's making it a little difficult for me to just get it up on the bench, so. But I'll figure it out.
Don, is that, are you going to that conference? I think last year you had a conference that got snowed out or something. Is that the same conference? Or maybe they were forecasting a bunch of snow and it still went on. I can't remember. I'll give me that answer when it comes back around to you.
And again, I no issue or concern about completion date or any of that. I just don't want to get stuck with a dead duplexer. But I guess at the very worst case scenario, if it was bad, I could just buy another one and do the old Amazon switcheroo, and then. We're probably all right. Don't worry about it.
No, I need a motivating factor on it because, I just got to find that window to get it going. I got some ideas. I'm thinking about it now, like how I can get moving. If I get that up on the bench, then I'll just get the whole thing knocked out. So I do apologize for how long it's taken. It's no excuse. And, well, there's an excuse, but it doesn't help. And I don't know, Anthony, this conference here, we've had some weather. I don't think it was ever anything bad. What the most remarkable year I can remember is at the beginning, the first day of the conference, everybody was walking around in light jackets or hoodies, and it was just real... it was real pleasant, and then that night, it was like a 50-degree switch, and it was frigid, and blizzards, and conditions, and snow everywhere. It was like crazy, like just overnight. It's always, it's been in February, and it's been at the beginning, and lately it's been at the beginning of March, so you're always right in that window where it's like roulette, you can get anything. I don't ever remember it being really bad, though. W8FU.
Okay, yeah, I remember maybe it was just a trip to Lansing last year or something got snowed out, but it is a coin toss at this time of year. It could either be sunny and 50 or it could be 10 in a blizzard. KE8RUH.
That is DBF. Yeah, like today it's 32 and yesterday it was 11. That kind of thing. And, Sean, I appreciate it. Again, I know your situation. You gave me a little bit of a glimpse into what you're dealing with there. And, don't get yourself in an annoying situation over a duplexer. It's $100. It's not the end of the world if it doesn't work. I'll finagle something with Amazon. They're a dime a dozen on there. So, again, I appreciate it. There's no rush on finishing it. I was just thinking about that this morning. Like, I wonder how much time I got left before... I got to determine if that thing works or not.
Oh yeah, you know what I got to do? I got to get a bench set up at the house. My problem is I tore my garage down and I'm building another one here in a very shortly. So I've got just my basement is unusable right now. It's just stacked up with stuff that should be. There's stuff upstairs that should be downstairs. There's stuff downstairs that should be in the garage, and there's no garage to put it in right now. So I don't have any place I can really set up right now. That's compounding the issue. I thought about doing it on the dining room table, but just popping it out and trying to knock it out, it wouldn't be that hard. So I just need a place to knock it out, and of course, a certain assortment of test equipment. So, anywho, I'll tell you, the worst one I ever did, I belonged to this one board, at the state level, and there's no virtual option. It's mandatory presence, so I have to travel every other month to Lansing for that one. And I remember one time we had some important stuff on the agenda, and I had to get out there, and it was the worst roads I have ever traveled in, all the way out to Lansing and all the way back. It was so bad. The highway was like ice ruts, you know, the whole way out there. It was just absolutely terrible. So that one I'll never forget, man. That was a white-knuckle drive all the way to Lansing and back.
Yep, I've had more than one of those, and some of them were by choice, trying to get up north for a storm to ski, or, you know, just getting caught. But, man, the road conditions can deteriorate quickly, and it's even worse now because it seems like that they don't do anything about the roads until the day after the storm at this point.
That ain't DBS. Yeah, I agree with that, Anthony. It's like they wait till the snow stops falling to do anything now.
Well, Timmy's, Dunkin', or Starbucks? What's it going to be? Ooh, Timmy's got a hell of a line here. We'll go to Starbucks, see what they're up to. Time for my morning brew.
I've been becoming more and more a fan of Tim Hortons, and it's mostly because it is drastically cheaper than going to Starbucks, and the quality of just regular coffee is pretty good.
Speaking of roads are fine, and we're still lollygagging. I don't know how traffic is for you guys this morning, but I feel like I'm back on over 70 since we got on the highway.
My drive was pretty uneventful, pretty good, pretty regular time, all that stuff. And to the coffee thing, I guess it depends. If you just get a coffee here at Starbucks, it's not really all that much more expensive than a coffee from Timmy's. It's when you start venturing into the specialty drinks. All right, I'm up. WAW.
Dakota, my drive was rather light coming in, like surprisingly light. Like I was wondering where all the traffic was. So it's unfortunate that you're finding the knuckleheads.
Sounds about right. Past the knucklehead, I was doing a quick drive in the left lane on the highway, which is nowhere to go. So it's good to know, but yeah.
Man, I don't know where you are, but your transmission was awful. It was all bacon fried.
That's weird because I'm not even in a bad spot. Actually, I like there's that one little stretch right there that's kind of...
You started out better and got worse throughout the transmission. Hopefully you're just in a little valley or something. Didn't get a word of that one. Give it a minute and come back.
Well, I'll grab it. I'm in line here, next up to the window. Just got a coffee today, nothing special. So we're... keeping it frugal.
It can get out of control if you're not careful. I know you're usually pretty frugal about it and have it dialed on how to get what you want and use the points and everything, but I can't imagine what some people spend on coffee throughout the week.
All right, am I back?
You're back, sir.
don't know if it's because my wife took this radio out of the truck last night after she drove it, and she unscrewed the CNC connectors instead of disconnecting the VNC, and I didn't tighten enough, or if that little stretch just north of 26 is that bad. North of 23, my bad.
Likely a combination of both. Probably got one more run, and then I will talk to you guys tomorrow.
I don't know if it's me then, because I just heard you, and there was a whole bunch of keying up static or something, and I don't know if someone's trying to hear me and not, or if something's going on.
I heard that also. I'm on the phone app, so I'm in over the internet, so I don't know if somebody's keying up or what it is. That was weird.
Yeah, I heard it too. But I am on my final approach as well. After I get my coffee, I get my coffee at Cass and Grossbeck, and of course, you know, I'm just north of there. So once I got my coffee in hand, it's the final countdown. The final countdown.
All right, gentlemen, I will catch up with you guys either this afternoon or tomorrow as KE8RUH. Have a great day.
All right, gentlemen, I am currently in a parking lot trying to get past 23 miles here like every other morning, so I will catch you guys later this afternoon or tomorrow. Have a good day, and HCBF, I'll be there. Well, I got one or two more in me here, just turning on to Elizabeth. But, yeah, I'm gonna make it a concerted effort to get things up and running. So I'd like to do it before I leave for my conference next week. Monday, I'm not coming in. I'm going to use it as a travel day for the conference. So if I accomplish something before the end of the week or the weekend, then I'll have Monday for coordinating or something like that. Whatever, we'll figure it out.
Connected to CMN Network.
Well, either way, I appreciate it. And again, this is not urgent, not a rush. I think, like I said, there's going to be maybe three or four of us that benefit from this. My only concern was I don't trust that duplex where I bought. But I quickly figured out I can always do the Amazon warranty claim. Yep, and I'm fairly certain it's going to be fine. You know, these things pretty cookie cutter, so. But you never know. That's a fact. Yeah, I'll just need to figure out a bracketing situation or something. I'll have to get creative, and once I get my hands on it, I'll make something. There might already be something in Thingiverse, you know, specifically to do exactly this. I know there was one for a pair of CDMs, CDM 1250s, and this for, by the way, this is going to be, now what the hell's going on here? Oh, prisoner transport, okay. Just say, why is there all these vans in the parking area? There are ours. But, let's see here, backing in. Anyhow, no, I lost my train of thought here as I'm trying to get shoehorned into the spot. I'll think of it. Let me get back in. I think what I was going to ask is, have you looked in the comments on these? You know where you bought it. You know, did people hit the ratings? Did people complain of any issues?
No, they said it was fine. Said it worked great for low power. Really, the only negatives I saw were the Teflon eroding over time. But I feel like with low power, that's probably not going to be an issue.
adds some strange. And the other thing I was going to mention is, you know, once you have this thing set up for Motorola's, like if you, you know, you'll have the radios that I set it up with, and if you found others in that, this the connectors on the back were common to almost all of them for a long period of time. So, like, you know, if you found a couple of upgrade radios, like CDMs or something like that, it's an easy to swap. If you found a different, if you wanted to go with different, you know, frequency, or if you wanted to do a split repeater, you know, no duplexer at all, do VHF, UHF, you could do that. You know, just go in on one and come out on the other. You know, I've never thought about that, but that doesn't require a duplexer at all. It's not a, you know, typical, you know, typical repeater, but who doesn't have a dual bander, right? No, for sure. I mean, that's how I did it with this 2730 for a long time. I would use that cross-banding into the FBI and just do an RF that way, which, I mean, I guess that's another option, right? I wouldn't even need the internet because it's got enough juice to get to the other repeaters. No. You'd still be connected up in a repeater. It's just that instead of having an input and an output on the same band, you'd have an input on one band and out on the other. Whichever one you pick, let's say have VHF transmit, but you'd go in on UHF, and it's still a repeater and it's still networked and all that stuff. But you just do a split band repeater. And then all you need for a duplexer is just one of those old, you know, VHF, UHF diplexers, you know, that put on your radio to bands to one radio. We'll make a real Peter.
Got the network burping on the end of that, but yeah, I misunderstood. I'm thinking cross-band repeat, which is just, you know, VHF into my mobile and then VHF to the repeater versus this being an actual repeater just coming in VHF or UHF and going out the other. I'm looking forward to it. I'll tinker around with it, make some enclosure and some cooling for it, and again, I think it's going to serve a very good purpose in that area, because I know there's quite a few more hams in town, older guys that live in condos, and all they have is HD, so this should suffice for them, because I've simplexed with them plenty of times, very, very low power.
Make this my last. I'll be back in a bit, perhaps.
Sounds good. I'm about 500 feet from my driveway here, so I will catch you later. NACDF.
Cisco phone was a friend of mine.
You have friends?
Few. The Cisco phone is a friend of mine.
Ah, the Cisco phone must be a relative of the Cisco kid. Gotcha. Good morning, W8RCY. I slept like a baby last night. I didn't get up till about 6:30, which is about an hour and a half late normal for me. But, yeah, so I'm fumbling around with no coffee or anything in me yet.
Always nice to get extra sleep. I did the opposite, and for some reason I was just beat. I was sitting there in front of my computer and I was nodding off. It was like 9 o'clock, and I think I was in bed and sound asleep by 9:30. And not last night, night before. I got tons of sleep, and it was glorious.
Pretty much the same here last night. I usually shut down at 9 o'clock, and I'm in bed by 9:30, and that's exactly what I did. Woke up, and it was like 6:28, and I'm going like, whoa, this is not normal, and I slept through the night like that. So, yeah, I'm, like, discombobulated, but I feel great, you know, the fact that I was able to sleep only, you know, 9 hours straight through for the first time, and I don't know how long, so definitely so. But I just heard, I don't know if you knew, maybe your radio was on, or your mic was on, or your Cisco was on, or what. I thought you, like, sitting on the mic and had an open mic there for a second. All right. You have a great day. Enjoy your coffee, and we'll catch up with you later. W8RCY.
When did you hear this open mic thing?
My bad, I turned the radio down. What did you say?
When did you hear this open mic thing?
I heard like a karaoke moment, you singing Cisco something was a friend of mine.
Oh no, that was deliberate. And don't call it singing.
Oh, okay. All right. I mean, I heard, you know, I was listening to you guys all morning, like I usually do, but, yeah, this was just an odd, what sounded to me like an extra key up or what, I don't know if you're talking on the phone or if you're talking on your radio or whatever. I just was away from the radio loud enough to hear it, and I'm going, oh. And, you know, but a brief karaoke moment, nothing wrong with that. Just got broadcasted over the airways.
Man, you're using all those terms, broadcasting and singing. No, I was talking in a sing-song manner, and I was transmitting. Anyhow, I'm just kidding. All right, I'm going to get to work here. WAFU.
W8RCY. I got to go find coffee. KCAKJO.
You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
WABE is mobile. November 8th, X-ray Zulu.
Missed the call sign. Try it again.
WABE. This is November 8th, X-ray Zulu. Name's Ron.
Good day. How are you? Name here's Wally, Whiskey Alpha Lima Lima Yankee, driving through New Baltimore. I'm only going to be here about 4 minutes, 5 minutes, but I'm ready to throw my call out and see who's out and about. What's up?
know you. Anyway, what is up? Trying to talk a friend of mine into getting her Echolink going so she can get on the D2 net. She could probably do it on her HC, but, you know, trying to Elmer folks to doing more stuff. What's up with you?
I'm heading towards one of our guys that are putting in the furnace that needs questions answered because there's too many wires in the thermostat that they don't understand. So that's what I'm doing. I'm going to run back to the office. What else am I doing? I think that's it. Echolink, All-Star. I've never played with Echolink. Kind of been a fan of All-Star. Does the same thing, almost. I don't know what the differences are, but All-Star and I-Star are pretty much the two things that I've been doing with connectivity that way. Echolink, I think I had an account there for a while. I didn't like the feel of it, the way it looked or acted or something, so I gave it up. So I go with the All-Star.
I didn't like the delay in Echolink. We're trying to get into a QSO. People don't leave a lot of room in the first place. And if you've got a two-second delay before you can even get between them, that was always a challenge. And that's why, like, the GMNet and I think some others have a particular space for, you know, Echolink and All-Star and I don't know, they might even throw mobile in there, but that's specifically to leave them more room. But then on the GM machine, it's worse because the Echo link goes into the All-Star link, goes into the machine. And so RF can get in fast, and All-Star is kind of fast, and Echo link is double slowed because of it.
That explains a lot of things. Yeah, that young man up north there in Lapeer, I think that's what he uses is Echolink as well. So, but I forget what app I use on my phone where I can get into the repeaters. You can get into both of them via app. Heck, I have to look. I can't remember the name of it. I'm getting old. Can't remember names anymore. I always have to look at my phone before I go in and see a client. When I was younger, I used to remember that right away. It's a scary sign.
Understood. Well, I signed up for remote hams, and I'm going to pay the $10 to buy their Android app. And that will give you kind of like Echolink, but on HF. And I have a friend in the GM club who has a machine kind of up north, and it's a good location because of the regular ground elevation is higher above sea level where his antenna is, and it's basically shooting straight down the entire Americas. So at the very least, I can listen in on some HF nets and learn more about that section of the bandwidth. But with that, it's not just connecting to a radio. You can actually remote the radio. I mean, you can tune it, you can turn on the amp, you can, you know, there's lots you can do if the owner gives you permission.
Okay, Ron, I got to step out. I got some things going on here. One, I got a work phone call, so I'm where I'm supposed to be. I will chat with you a little later, sir. I thought this was going to be a little bit longer drive than I thought, but it gives me time. So, you be good. W-A-C.
All right, Wally, get to work. 7-3, my friend. Have a good day. November 8, X-Ray Zulu.
Where's brunch? W-8-F-U.
November 8, X-Ray Zulu.
Hey. Are you on your note? You sound, exceptionally crispy, clean, no caffeine.
Negative, sir. I am on the Baofeng DM32UV.
Oh, all right. Well, you're, like I said, crisp and clean, no caffeine. Sounds good. I just thought you were maybe on your note.
The DM32. I do like mine. It is what it is, but I do enjoy it.
It has the first most important Baofeng charm of having a price point where if you drop it, you're not going to cry.
You know, that might be their greatest feature. If you're doing a checklist, you know, pros and cons, it's probably one of the biggest, that's got to be the biggest one in the pro column. Well, let's see here. I'm trying to do the roundabout here on the Hall Road over near Grosbeck, and there is a broken down car right in the roundabout, and a patrol car got him. So I got to work my way. I got my way around it. I'm on the road now, so all good. Now, just looking to, got a meeting at noon, so I just left the shop. I'm going to find myself some eats before my meeting and get there a little ahead of schedule.
Are you getting there private early or sergeant early? Hi, hi.
I didn't know there was a difference.
Well, the sergeants always have to, if it's meetings at, you know, 10 o'clock, the sergeants always have to get there at 9:45 to, you know, make sure that everything's ready and make sure they're absolutely positively not late and take up any of the slack in transport and whatnot. But the privates have to get there 15 minutes before the sergeants because, you know, and so there's, the hurry up and wait gets longer and longer the further you are down the food chain.
Yeah, okay. Well, I don't know that I got to be any kind of early. I may or may not be. I got to figure out where I'm going to eat first. But I got to go to up by Stony Creek, 28 Mound area. It's my meeting. Meeting a building contractor. It's a walk of a premise walk, all that stuff. May have to. I'm actually meeting them at 1, but I'm going there ahead of time with one of my guys. We can poke into some ceilings and behind some walls and pull some panels and stuff like that and make sure we have all the questions formulated before we meet at 1.
Is that something you do often?
Every time there's a new station of whatever kind, yeah, we're usually pulled in to make sure the technology end of it goes smoothly.
I saw these gizmos on, I want to say it was Amazon. I'm pretty sure it was Amazon. But you can get basically a borescope or an inspection camera. You know, like I've got one by Rigid that's a little bit more rugged, that's more suitable for like shoving into a sewer. But they have like darn near fiber optic cameras where you can shove them into any little crack or crevice and get a picture of what's going on behind that could be eminently useful for that kind of activity. Let me attach to the cell phone.
Yeah, those, I've seen those. Those are nice. We don't quite have to do that. You know, for instance, like our biggest, you know, making sure that radio and installed sound systems are accounted for, making sure that the right contractors are hired for the things we don't do, you know, making sure that stuff we have to get is got, you know, and everything's accounted for, antennas, you know, grounding, you know, things like that. In a fire station, it gets much more involved because there's alerting systems that have to be accounted for, and they have to control lights and gas valves and doors, and there's all sorts of other things that are part of a fully functional, integrated, you know, electronic alerting at a fire station. So that's what we're doing today. And, you know, this one is where, you know, we got to kind of bridge the gap between the you know, the chief, what the chief and the crew desires and what the contractors deliver. So we got to go out there and figure out what they want so that we can be their mouthpiece when it comes to making sure the contractor understands what they're going to need to supply or do. And it has to do with antennas, running and routing, and, you know, where our public address system is going to be located, where is the alerting system going to go, how are the light contactors going to work. You know, there's things, a lot of electrical considerations for those. There's, you know, the gas valves are always a thing. They always throw their hands up and run around. Oh, we don't know. Well, get a gas contractor out here. How many times are we going to do this? You know, so, but just there's so much, you know, going on. You know, what doors are going to have, what kind of, you know, security and alerting and entry and all that stuff. Just, there's just tons of things to figure out when you're building new or renovating.
Absolutely. And, you know, listening to that level of technology that we're enjoying right now, my brain just couldn't stop playing back the emergency TV show. And I still remember the tone out for their squad.
Oh yeah, right. Yep. That's it's really it's changed quite a bit. These new FSA systems, fire station alerting systems, are pretty impressive. I mean, they've got them. You know, the level to which you can do things now with these systems is amazing. A guy could literally badge in. They could have, like, magnetic cards, and he could have, like a fob, and he could just tag in. If the particular chair he's sitting in, let's say he's going to be back in the, you know, he's going to be, and I know this sounds crazy, but let's say, you know, because you've got paramedics and you've got firefighters, and they're not the same necessarily. Everybody's different, but, you know, in a lot of stations, you know, you've got your paramedics and you've got your firefighters. Some are on duty for this, some are on duty for that. And when the runs come in, you know, their fire runs or their, you know, their EMS runs, and so you can badge in at the particular chair you're sitting in to watch TV in the day room, and you know, and then the speaker right next to it could go off and play the call for you because you're logged in as a firefighter, you know, as opposed to an EMS guy. You don't want to be bothered with them EMS runs, you know, because they're you know, it's down to that level. Lights can go on with you know, lights that guide you, you know, in the middle of the night, you know, that we do. And, you know, we don't do that level. There's boards that show, you know, maps and, you know, show what's going on, where it's going on, what's going on. And, you know, just there's so much cool technology that's involved in it all these days. I remember, it makes me think back to, I don't know if you remember when, hold on. Several years back when Detroit was looking to upgrade their stuff down there, they actually showed how they had a pop can on a string connected up to the printer, so when the printer went off and the papers came out, it would hit the pop can would fall on the ground, it would go tink, 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 and they would know that they had a run, a rip and run. It's like the old pop can on a string.
That's awesome. And that visual just reminded me of the movie The Andromeda Strain, where apparently the world was almost destroyed because a scrap of paper jammed a bell in a teletype, which really wouldn't have, and there's no reasonable explanation as to how it could have got there, but yeah, it's these little single point of failures, you know, turn into solutions.
Oh yeah, it's crazy, and it's you know, but it's good stuff. I enjoy it. You know, the technology is just getting better and better. And you know, I used to, when I was a young man in this business, I've been doing it for 45 plus years, but the last 36 of it's been specifically in public safety, You know, we used to, the radios were large, and, you know, the trunk unit had to go in, the trunk, and, you know, the lighting, we had to have these relays because, they were, you know, lights were lights, and they drew current, you know, with the motors to spin them, and, you know, and they would draw a ton of current, so we would have to, you know, take everything to the trunk, and then we'd have these distribution systems to distribute the power, and, you know, and they have the radio trunk unit back there and the siren, you know, had to get power and all that. And then and up front, you know, we would have either control heads or full radios, and you know, and then as everything got smaller, it's like, oh, it's going to be so much easier, you know, with these smaller radios and these LED lights and, you know, and everything like that. No, because then they just added MDCs, they had, you know, radar units, they had, you know, they had, you know, you name it, you know, just so everything got smaller, but then you got to put 10 times the number of stuff in. So right back to just always a chore to find out where to put stuff.
Well, that's one of my challenges shopping for my next vehicle. I keep looking at, okay, nice car. It's got the engine I like. It's got a grab handle by the door I like. Okay, good. Where am I going to put my radio? And, oh, by the way, where's the antenna going to go? Why did you put so damn much glass on the roof? It's like, grumble. Talking about the tin can thing, I saw something recently, spy stuff for travelers, basically. One of the tricks was you take one of the towels in your hotel and you roll it up and jam it under the door latch or door handle so that people that try to do the under door attack can't get a grip on the door latch to open your door. And the other was you take a fork and stick a fork in the door jamb at the very top on the side furthest from the hinge, and then you hang a cup on the fork so that opening the door will certainly make noise and probably wake you up. So I'm like, you know, I've done a lot of traveling and stayed in more than my fair share of hotels, and I don't remember anybody trying to break in the middle of the night. But there was this one time they double-booked a room, and I walked in on a guy taking a shower and scared the bejesus out of him. But anyway, I digress.
Yeah, that would be kind of a shocker. So, all right, let's see. Downtown Utica. Got to figure out where I'm going to eat here. Got to grab myself a bite. I won't be terribly far from my destination. But, you know, I wonder if I could go to Marcus, get some of them excellent pierogies they've got. That's not a bad idea. Then I could get some to go. They're so good. Okay, what are your favorite fillings? Let's see. I like my favorite, probably potato, cheddar. You know, I like them all. I like the meat. I like the sauerkraut. I like the potato and cheese, you know, the yellow cheese, you know, like cheddar or whatever. I like the farmer's cheese, the sweeter, not the bland one, but the sweeter ones that are a little more desserty. But I don't like those as my main course. It's tough for me to decide. What would be my favorite? Meat or cheddar potato? Or something with mushroom in it would be really good. I don't know. I really can't choose.
I love that farmer's cheese one, but I agree, pretty much anything except the onion ones.
Now, when you say the onion ones, are these a pierogi that's, like, just onion, or are they onion with, like, you know, potato and onion, or meat and onion, or something else? Because I could go for, like, potato and onion, I think. I don't know. I don't know that I've had one, but I've never had just an onion. Is that a thing? I don't know. I'm not sure I have had that, if there is.
I'm sure it was mixed. I think it was potato and onion, and there's just too much onion.
I'd probably try it, you know, if I seen it on the menu, but, yeah, if there was too much, I probably wouldn't care for it either. It'd have to be the right, you know, a bit is nice, but too much, and it's like, nah, I don't know where this is. I don't remember where Marcus is located. So it's on Van Dyke, I think in 25,
I don't know. Cannot remember. There's Steakhouse 22. I like that place. Now I want steak. When we moved here, there was an Applebee's nearby, and it was okay. I mean, it was decent. And in the time we've lived here, it's gone downhill to the point where I don't bother going anymore, which is sad. So when I look for my next house, I'm going to want to find some place with, you know, it's like, yeah, you want to be close to other things, but I'm going to pay more attention to restaurants. I'll be in a few. Well, I know you were talking about moving. I'm curious if you've got, like, a general area in mind. Have you been pursuing that at all, or how's that working out? November 8, X-ray Zulu. Well, we're stalled, not mostly because the market stopped, and we had an offer on a house in Trenton that I sincerely think there was some subterfuge going on. We had $1,000 higher offer, and they took the other one, and I gotta believe it's because they probably just said, oh yeah, the city did an inspection, it's good enough. And I'm, you know, when I looked at it, the ceiling tiles in the basement were wet. I mean, like, soggy. They weren't dripping, but they were still actively wet from a kitchen flood that happened over a year before. So I'm thinking there's a black mold farm in the attic, or in the basement ceiling. But anyway, yeah, but we were trying to get closer to family because we're old and crippled. And right when we found that house, I called my sister. It's like, hey, we found a house. It's like 8/10 of a mile from your house. And it's like, yeah, good. Our niece got accepted to Interlock, and we're moving. So we're still thinking closer to downriver, but still Michigan because we were anchored by family. But if I were more sensible, I would move someplace that had lower taxes and more friendly barometric pressure for old folks. But that's not in the cards yet. So yeah, we're just watching Zillow things pop up and, you know, keeping an eye on it, but we're not actively pursuing.
You're connected to CMN Network.
All right, yeah, I got it. So, yeah, Trenton, that's that is down that way. So I have family down there as well. Not that we have a lot of contact with, but I do have a lot of family from down that way. In fact, I was born down that way, Lincoln Park, actually, a little further north. But but I was up here in Warren by the time I was three, and so I don't remember anything of our time in Lincoln Park. But yeah, I don't know. I keep looking, and when I look at the taxes now, it's really kind of like make me say, I ain't moving. You know, I just, I'm going to stay where I'm at. You know, but I got a situation where I got an acre, and, you know, and I can, but I got to do something. I don't want to go into retirement with the house the way it is. I either got to add on and get the kitchen and living and all that stuff I want, and then white box the old bungalow part and turn that into a, you know, like a master suite and all that stuff. Problem is, there'll be steps. We really don't want steps in our older age. But you know, if I could just do, you know, one or two into the main house, and then that would cut it down to one or two to the bi-level, you know, where the bedrooms are. That would be manageable, I think. Still a couple of steps, but that might be my best bet. That or just get a manufactured, you know, ranch and have it dropped on there and bulldoze what I got now. I mean, I think I'm staying anyway. Any which way you slice it up, I think I'm staying, because I did look at just walking away and selling it and going and getting what we want. But, you know, I'm not unhappy. I like where I'm at. I like my property, and so I'm going to try to just
finish out there. But I don't have, like you, I don't have a particular family need to move anywhere in particular. And in fact, my family is here in this basic area. So, all right, Ron, I'll tell you what. I am closing in on my stop here. I'm going to make this my last. I will listen out to your comments on my last. And unless there's anything I have to comment on, we'll catch you later. W8FU after yours.
Fine business, sir. I understand completely. We looked at new construction, and I was appalled at the. They're not even trying. So it's a question like you're saying about trying to find something or just putting a nice manufactured home on a lot, because so many houses pop up that are just so far away from something we could use, like you said, with stairs or whatnot. And we're at a point where things like a first floor laundry is going to be an enabler to maintain some of the freedom of doing your own laundry, whereas if it's downstairs, we might need to start, paying someone, because we can't always manage that. So anyway, this getting old stuff ain't for sissies. And I'll look forward to our next 7-3 for now, November 8 X-Ray Zulu.
Hello, Don. Good morning to you. How are you this morning?
Busy as a one-legged man in a butt-kicking contest.
Well, that's good. You certainly don't need your pay, as always. Now I'm heading back in the office myself, and I'm going to go grab some lunch here. Had Steve come and help me up finish up a bank. I was having some problems with. Did you get your PGT squared away? Did you take a look at it?
Yeah, I've got it in mic ordered. The broken wire inside, or a nicked wire inside the RJ itself.
Ah, probably pulled it or something. Well, okay, got that squared away. That's good. Well, I'm still doing some of my window shopping here. So I've got a few things I'm kind of just more like dreaming about. Well, maybe a little bit of some seriousness involved, but there's a few things I've got on my wish list here, so I might have to see about taking the time to decide what I actually want and or need.
And then a Yaesu STM-150 or an STM-310-DRASP, if you're going to do system fusion or not.
Oops, I'm sorry. Tom, could you repeat the Yaesu models again? Because I did ask you that beforehand. That's something else I'm kind of thinking about for doing system fusion. What were the two models that you would suggest?
Well, if you're not going to do system fusion, then you want the STM-50, which is just strictly 440 analog. The 310-DRASP.
Okay, you got a little bit noisy there when you were telling me. I think you said an FT-50. Yeah, I'm referring more or less for system fusion really right now, so... hate to do this, but could you please repeat that again? You're a bit noisy.
you're planning on doing System Fusion, then you want a Foxtrot Tango Mike dash 310 Delta Romeo Alpha Sierra Papa, FDM dash 310 DRASD.
Okay, very good. Yeah, I noted that down. Yeah, I was doing some browsing around, and I saw they had another EASU. Not one for System Fusion. Because FDX-1, I think. But it's more like for HF through 440 and such. And I was just looking at the cover plate, the front of the plane and all that. It looked all right, but I don't think it would really be quite what I would want to suit my needs. I'm looking for something more for fixed base, not nothing mobile or anything. But I was looking at that and like, it's not really quite there. Oh, I do have one of the questions I'd like to ask you, Tom. Could you possibly send me some code plugs?
Yeah, once I get my laptop all spun up, then I can send you a couple.
Okay, yeah, that would be good. Yeah, I was watching a video a few nights ago, and they're talking about another, the TYT was a quad band. So, and then I said it was just basically bare bones. Nothing fancy or anything, but you said something about most times the cost drives people away from me. Uh-oh. I didn't see what the cost was, but I'm thinking, uh-oh, that may be kind of prohibitive. A radio, not really a major brand, but just no frills, bare bones, and costing a lot, so probably to scratch that one off, too.
Well, if you want the most bang for your buck for DMR, then you have the TYT MD9600. It does the job, and that's all that matters. I mean, you can go to Motorola or a Tate or something like that, but or a Kinect system. But I'd stick with the 9600.
All right, I'll take a look at that model, too. Probably more for System Fusion, but I'll use the base key I got to keep on doing this before I see how it goes. Well, it's going to be because I think I've done a little bit of my gather for audio comparison. And I still will probably tend to think I'd probably use a little bit more System Fusion audio rather than a little bit more digitized sound, at least in my opinion, for DMR.
The only one I'm missing is D-Star. All right, I got to jump out. I got to get to the Spence account. I will chat at you on the road later. Tell me if you're in your final KC, did you?
Okay, very good. Talk with later, Tom. Have a good day, and earn your pay. Like I'm doing here. Anyways, 7-3, talk to you later. W-8-R-A-D.
W-8-V-D.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network. connected to CMN Network.
Office? No, negative. I left
and I picked up some supplies from Kenneth, and I'm heading over to meet James over in Livonia. Well, it looks like I checked my email. It looks like my request for my DMR ID had been rejected. I got the copy from the PDF for my license from the FCC website. Unfortunately, the one that is stated that you download there lists as reference copy for the watermark. They're only accepting official copies. So I'm going to go back and revisit on the FCC ULS webpage where I get this.
Yeah, you got to download your original and then send that to them, and then you should be golden.
Now, whatever, I don't know what the difference really is, other than the words. It came from the official government website, but whatever. I'll have to redo that.
It's not that bad. All you got to do is just download a PDF. You know, printable copy into a PDF, and then you just take that, stick it in there, and send it out. You know, I mean, it's like the birth certificate kind of thing. You gotta have one with a watermark on it kind of thing.
Yeah, I'll take a look at it tonight. It's just playing a silly little game to have to play, I guess. So, yeah, I'll do that, and I'm going to take a look at this, the radio you were suggesting as well, too. So, they may come back from, Dayton and be ready for, playing other, digital, codec format here on, VHF, UHF. That way, maybe I can get into the swing of it. You know, get to where all the popular people are at.
Well, you got UHF, you got, the three powers, FBI, Warren, Richmond, and Romeo, and then those are connected to Central Michigan's network. So you hear a lot of guys, you know, so you hear us conversing back and forth, you know, all over the state. And you got System Fusion, east side and west side, and you got TMR, east side, west side. So a lot of open areas there that you get to dabble in.
Yep, there sure are. Like I've been telling people, I've been in the hobby for 20-some years, and there's still ways to get active and you know, just spread your wings, I guess. You know, be in places that you haven't been before, so that'll be one of them. So that's probably in the future. I don't know. We'll see what happens at Dayton. I'm hoping that one of the big three or more will do, you know, super-duper radio that I just have to have. But I doubt it. I've got my own wish list as far as something that I'd like for mobile radio, but I don't know if it'll ever come to fruition.
I just go to TXC and they got some great deals. All right, I got to get in the office. I'll talk at you later. Let me turn your final TEC deal.
Okay, 7-3 time. Talk to you later. I'm not too far from where I need to be. A few more miles, and I'll be at my location. So, have a good day, Tom. W8RAD.
You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
W8FU.
K8RUH. How's it going, Sean?
It's going pretty good. What's got you out at 3:04?
A little early, right?
Yep, I am making a delivery to one of my customers, actually right over in your neighborhood on DeQuinder in 12 Mile.
No, there you go. Yeah, right there. I am at 16 in DeQuinder. Well, actually, I'm 15 and a half now on my way home.
You will be home a little bit early. That's pretty nice.
Yeah, we finished up like 28 Mounds was where we were at. We finished up about 2:30, and I could drive a half hour to Mount Clemens just to sit there for a half hour and drive home, or I could just drive straight home and finish up. I got a bit of work I can do when I get home, so it's a lot more fiscally responsible to just go home and finish up at home.
I hear you on that. I do that all the time. I always, I'm always going, oh, I could probably just go home from here and get the rest of the day done. It's always better to be at home working than it is to be in the office.
Yeah, I got three sets of papers I've got to scour. I got a big meeting tomorrow morning. I've got concurrent meetings, like from 10 to noon. Three different groups, and the documents are all related to that. So we've been over them six ways from Sunday. I just got to sit down with the final copy, make sure they're absolutely spot on, didn't miss nothing, and then so I need about an hour with these documents, and then and I can call it an evening. And tomorrow we should be able to just show up, slap everything down on the table and say, this is what we got.
It is nice to be overly prepared sometimes.
Yeah, these particular tasks are, you know, there's a whole Where's Waldo kind of tediousness to them. There's, you know, 100 moving parts and cascading effects of changes and stuff like that that all have to be taken into account. So, you know, generally we'll go through and they'll say, okay, well, I can see right off the bat we got to do this, 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 this. But then wait, and that's going to change that. But then if we do that, then this. And it's just like, so it's figuring out all the unintended consequences that generally takes all the time. But I'm fairly confident we got all the significant things, all the things we could figure out and answer done. So we'll get the rest of it figured out tomorrow. And it's all about code plug, so to speak. I know that's kind of a crude approximation of the process, but it kind of comes down to code plug design.
Yeah, I would imagine that could get rather exhausting because there's probably a lot of, like you were saying, if this, then this. You know, there's a reaction to every action, so I'm sure it takes a long time to get through that process.
Yeah, right now we're implementing some sweeping changes, some long-term changes, and so, you know, you got to find the right opportunity to introduce the changes, and, you know, and then those have all them, unintended consequences, and sometimes we laugh about it sometimes because, you know, we'll think we'll have everything all set, and then a phone call will come in, or, you know, an email will come in or something like that, and I'll go running out, wait, and then, you know, to the point where, you know, the guy that mostly have working on this stuff, he'll just say, I don't want to hear it, stop, we're done. Sorry, we're not.
Yep, I can imagine. Luckily, I don't get that deep into process anymore, so I don't have to lose my mind over all of those conversations, because it's rewarding when you get to the finish line, but it is tedious until you get there.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to farm it off, but so much of it has to do with, you know, MOUs and, you know, mutual understanding agreements and, you know, usage and, you know, then there's technology limitations and all this stuff that, you know, if it were just simple, you know, I could pan it off, but it's not because everything has all these, you know, regulatory and interoperable, you know, implementations, and it's just like, yeah. So I guess I'm going to be stuck doing it until I ain't doing it no more. Then somebody else will have to do it. But I don't mind it, but it's why I don't, you know, when it comes to, like, programming my DMR radio, send me the code plug. I have no interest in writing my own.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. That can be a tedious task also, but what I did find in the last time I put one together for my Anytone, I was glad I just went through the grueling process and have it the way I like it. It's probably not the way other people would do it, but I have it figured out that it works pretty well for me, and that's all that matters.
Yeah, that's the best part, is that you're really only figuring it out so that it's right for you. You know, you don't have to, you know, when we do a similar thing on a commercial or, you know, public safety level, there's all these other considerations that have to be taken into account. And so, you know, I wish it were easy. You know, we could just say, oh, well, just do this. But, you know, it's like and all these other parties that are coming into play on what will or won't work. All right, anyhow, Anthony, I just pulled up and parked. I got to get inside and finish up my work day. Got about, like I said, you got to put a little time in on these documents, and then I'll be all set. But I can do it through my sweatpants now. After yours, W8FU.
All right, well, that's the best way to work, is in your sweatpants, in the recliner. So, all right, have a great afternoon. We'll catch up with you later. Talk to you in the morning, KE8RUH.
Well, KE8RUH, I'll pick it up from here. Good afternoon. My call is W8RUH, and my name is Dave. I can't recall if we've chatted before or not, but I'm going to start off as if we haven't. Everybody's been listening to the channel in the conversation a little bit. Sounds like everybody's getting out early here. It's very, very quiet. So I've got a couple things that I've got to do when I get home so I can see a little bit more active. Got to pull everything out of my van and clean it out and put it back in.
Hey, Dave. Name here is Anthony. And, yeah, it snuck out a little early, but I got to stop by a customer site and drop some gear off and then hopefully still make it home either on time or a little bit early. We'll see what happens.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
I've still got some training to do before I do some online training here, so let's get that accomplished. So let me ask you this, Anthony. What line of work are you in?
I guess the short answer is I sell used IT equipment wholesale. So handle a lot of laptops, desktops, and network gear, servers, things of that sort.
Okay, interesting. So it's like all the companies who want to update, they sell off their old stuff, and then you pick it up, and then probably just resell it then. Okay. Pretty good. Well, you probably know a friend of mine, Tom. I work with him, although he does something a bit different than myself. I do basically pretty simple in two words, an alarm installer. So that's basically what I do.
Cool, yes, I do know Tom. And that is probably the simplest answer you could give to what you do, which makes sense. Yeah, so that's cool. I think I saw you driving the other day, and I called out trying to figure out if it was Tom. over in Grosse Pointe Woods on Mass. But, hey, I got to take this phone call. I'll catch up with you in a few. KE8RUH.
Okay, sounds good. I'll be here for a bit. W8RIT.
KE8RUH, Dave, you still out there?
Yep, I am still here. Yeah, I was going to comment that each of us has a couple coworkers who are kind of interested in getting their tickets. Although one of the coworkers is probably go for a ZMRS license first, but two of them have some interest in AM radio, so we're trying to hint at them and hurry up, get your ticket. You can join us for some fun.
Absolutely, yeah, it's nice for the drive, and as often as you guys are in the car driving all over town, it's entertaining to be able to talk to people.
Yes, I will echo those sentiments wholeheartedly. I was just talking about that with someone yesterday. I think it was a guy named Jack, and told me, yes, that's one of the nice things about since I put the radio back in the vehicle, you get stuck in a traffic jam, it's not quite as bad. Because now I've got something that I like to do, you know, like chatting with you. So that certainly does help. And I don't think I'm any less unsafe for my driving. I do pay more attention to my driving even still, which does sometimes lead to kind of, you know, loss of train of thought sometimes because you're a little bit more focused on the driving. So that's the only bad part about it, but yeah, it's certainly nice for that, because it certainly does make the drive around, you know, to and from a heck of a lot nicer. Even nicer than just listening to the AM/FM radio station.
Absolutely. Yeah, it makes my morning and afternoon drive a lot easier, that's for sure. Like you said, you get stuck in traffic, it's not as bad. Even when it's just regular driving, no big deal.
Oh, and the other thing I was at comment on, and I'm trying to think, it might have been me that you did see, because I do live in that area. I live in Mac and Jefferson, just south of 9 miles. So I'm not certain when you would see me, but I think I might have been in the area recently, so I don't know. It might have been me, it might have been him. Let me ask you this, Anthony. The figure thinking is very, very fuzzy in my memory. But I think we might have possibly ran into each other last summer, I think is what it was. I think you were down the street from my house. Possibly it was you possibly getting some tacos. Do you live in the area? Your Grosse Pointe Woods?
Yep, that is me. 100%. That's really funny.
Okay. I think I remember chatting with the guy there. That was you. I think we were both getting some tacos there. And just happened to strike up the conversation. You made mention to live in the area. Okay. Yeah, I live, if you know where the taco place is, I live just down the street towards Jefferson, about a couple blocks or so.
That's really cool. Yeah, that's hilarious that you say that, because I definitely remember talking to you. But hey, I'm at my first stop. I'm going to hop out, unload some computers, and then when I get back out here, I'll try to call out if you're still in the vehicle, and we'll chat some more. This is KE8RUH. I'll be clear on your final.
Okay, sounds good. I'll have a little bit left to go home. Coming up the 8 mile and the lock, so that'll be good. I got one other minor question I'd like to ask you when you get back, so we'll resume that. W8RIT.
If you're, if it's a quick one, go ahead and ask. Cause I don't know how long I'll be.
I just hop out. I'll wait till you get back. W8RG.
All right, I'll catch up with you soon. KE8RUH.
Hey, B1.
I'm sorry, I didn't get the full call sign there. Can you kindly repeat it? I think it was Alpha Bravo 8 Oscar November. Well, my call sign is W8RIT. My name is Dave. Good afternoon to you, sir. How are you?
get the first part right, it's Alpha Bravo 8 Yankee. It's the ABMA.
Okay, got it corrected. So how you doing? I'm heading home myself. Bit of some slow traffic, but I'm just talking with a new friend that's telling, well, got some ham radio, so it's not that bad anymore. Kind of slow, but I'm dealing with it here. So I should have taken a different route home, but I failed to do so.
Yeah, I'm off to the bus stop to get the kiddos, get my night with them, so I'm going to go pick them up and get them from school and take them in the morning. But, yeah, you never know when you're going to take the wrong route. You know, Murphy has his laws and all.
Yep, that he does, that he does. Well, I'll get there eventually, I guess. So, anyways, what are you doing in the hobby? What sort of interest do you have here in ham radio?
I do all sorts of stuff. I do almost a little bit of everything, I guess. I think the thing I like doing most is like public service stuff. I do bike MS events and a couple. Was it beginning of this month? I was up north doing the snowdrift rally, so that's what probably I like doing most is doing the volunteer work.
Sounds kind of familiar. I think I've got a ham radio friend who also participates. I guess he does some of the communications for it as well, too. By any chance, I don't know if you do anything with the radio communications with it, but do you happen to know Rich, KCHMJ? I think he does it. And maybe you have to refresh me. Is it like over towards Gaylord that they hold this? Sort of the northern center part of the state?
Yeah, that name or call doesn't sound familiar, but yeah, it's towards that way. I guess I get my hotel in Gaylord, but the race is centered around Atlanta, which is halfway between Mayo and Athena, I guess.
Does the race go on, is it one race that goes on, or is it multiple? And then also, is it multiple days? Do you do it like on a Saturday and a Sunday?
Connected to CMN Network.
Yeah, it's 2 days. It's one event. It's just there are various stages, so it's a timed rally. All the cars are street legal. They're driving on the roads, and then they will shut down stages and block public from using the road, and they'll let them go full speed, and we attract some pretty good drivers, I guess. Travis Pastrana was up there, and Leah Block, Ken Block's daughter, was up there, so we get some pretty high-paid drivers up there for being in the middle of Michigan.
Well, what about you? Have you ever driven through it, or is that for the more skilled drivers, I should say?
Negative. I've never driven. I've just done radio for it. When I was up in school, there was the series. The first race is in Michigan, and the last race of the championship is in Michigan. So when I was up north at Michigan Tech, we would go spectate, but I didn't. I wasn't even close to being a ham then, so, I spectated for a bit, and then a few years ago I finally bit the bullet, went up there and did it, and had a lot of fun, so I've been up there the last 4 years doing it.
KE8RUH.
Go ahead.
I'll go ahead and just take it around. I heard you guys talking about car racing, but I'll pick it up when I'm on the back end, when it comes back around to me.
Okay, very good, very good. We'll talk to you in a moment. Yeah, I don't think I ever had a chance for doing anything like that, because I guess, first of all, you would need the vehicle. more so something kind of, something that you would have specifically, I guess, for this purpose, I guess. So that would cost a little bit. Like to do is a friend of mine had done some years back and go out to Milan. I guess you can, I think it's $200 or $300 or something like that. You get a NASCAR you can take around the track like 2 or 3 times. So I wouldn't mind trying that out. That seems like that would be fun. You know, I like funny cars and that too, but that's kind of not so much entertaining for me. I mean, it's good as far as, you know, the workmanship as far as being able to produce the motor, gets itself up to the time that they, but it's just too quick. It's like it's done and over with, so that part isn't so much entertaining to me, but yeah, I probably would think that would be fun, you know, for the snowdrift rally and that. So, yeah, I'm not certain how long he's been doing so, but I think he's been doing so for at least a couple decades or so, going up there for that rally. Over to you, AB8Y from W8RAT.
Yeah, talking to the people there, they've said, you know, when you're racing, it's you got to be able to afford to totally lose a car and not worry about it. And sometimes that happens. They'll roll them over, crash into a tree, and they'll be done for. But rally's an interesting race to spectate because you don't get to see the full thing. They just kind of drive by you once and. The other thing is you see the best cars first because they put the faster cars out to the slowest. first few cars are really fun, then you get the guys that are cutting their teeth and are going pretty slow. So it's a little bit different for as far as spectating. When you're doing radio, you barely get to see anything because you're busy doing radio or somewhere where they're not actually going. Anyway, go ahead, Anthony.
Yeah, years ago, I shouldn't say years ago, about 10 years ago, I did one of those race experience things, went out to MIS and drove a Lamborghini Huracan around the road course, and man, was that cool to really be able to get on one of those cars. They are faster than you think they are. They are absolute monsters. It was pretty awesome. And I'll throw it over to Dave, and if you remember the question you were going to ask me, go ahead and ask, and then I'll answer it on my next time around.
KCKKO.
Well, hi, Tom. Go ahead and make one, then pass it back to me, please.
You know what's awesome is driving in a patrol car, lights and sirens, at 18 years of age. That's fun.
The trouble is, Tom, you have to be in it, but in the front seat, though. Yeah, I think that would be pretty exciting now. Especially if you are actually going somewhere that you need to be using the lights and sirens. So that would put a little of pep in your step, I would tend to think. Anyways, yeah, I think that'd be pretty fun, though. I didn't know they did anything like that for Lambos, Huracans on the road track. Now that would be even more fun. Although you'd probably have to kind of get acquainted with the vehicle, I guess, at first, you know, to learn, you know, slip it in that. You know, downshifting how fast it's going to be. But, yeah, I've always kind of, I like NASCAR, but I've always preferred, like, the Indy, kind of for the road course more, as far as the deviations of speed, you know, speeding up and slowing down to take hairpin corners, you know, then turning left and right, which I always thought was kind of a little bit more competitive, I guess. But that would probably, if I were to race anything, I would probably do like Indy or F1, something like that. The question, I think I got two questions for you, Anthony. One of the ones was, I think, when did you get licensed? Because I used to be KC8RVS. I have not heard about KG8RVF, but I'm looking for a KG8RVF, maybe. And I don't think we're up to the KF8 suffixes yet for that. I think the highest one I've heard so far would be FSO, so we're in the F. So just kind of curious, I can kind of grade, I guess, you know, from when I got licensed in the July of 2001, to see kind of how long it took for, you know, each of the repetitive cycles to come out. So, yeah, I'd like to know, maybe if you could tell me when you were first licensed. I didn't get the name. Could you fill us in on your name, please? I think it's A-B-A-Y from W-A-R-I-T.
Yeah, name here is Lance Lima Alpha Nancy Charlie Echo. But the closest thing I've done to that is as far as the racing thing is when we first came out with the Hellcats, they did a thing at work where we went out to the proving grounds and they had the professional drivers there take us around laps around the oval, and we're doing 150 in the straightaway or in the corners and 180 in the straightaways, and yeah, that was cars make weird noises at that speed. Go ahead, Anthony.
Yes, they do make weird noises at those speeds. And the thing that I did, there was a professional driver in the car with me, and it was great. I mean, they went through a whole, I think it was an hour, maybe an hour and a half, like, school scenario where they taught you about the vehicle. They taught you all of the signage and things to look for on the track. And then you got in, had the professional driver, and they, you know, they kind of called things out as you were driving and told you, you know, brake, 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 gas, 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 you know, things like that, so that as a novice, you didn't have to think about it, and it really made it so that it was a wild experience. It was very cool. And when did I get licensed? I think I got licensed in 2021, I want to say. And I think they are to KF8 call signs now. I think I've heard a couple of them around over the last couple weeks. We've had a lot of new people out here on CMN and FBI as of late, which is pretty cool, with KF8 prefixes. And I think it goes over to Tom. How are you doing today, Tom?
Hello, fellows. Yeah, KF8's already out there, Dave. Wyatt, as a matter of fact, is KF8FQN. And we got Ben out there, KF8JLA. So, we got a couple out there already. And then KF8DPZ, which should be Cliff. But yeah, we're up there pretty high. I got my license in 98.
Yep, I wish I would have got mine quite a bit earlier, but better late than never here. Yeah, I've seen some videos of that, Anthony. I'm going to mess the name of the track up in Germany. It was something like Nijmegen, but I think that's actually a Dutch city. But it was something like it. I couldn't recall it right off the hand, but I think the guy was just using a charger, and that's what it was. He had a co-driver with him who knew the track, and you know, we tell them, okay, slow down to about, you know, 70 or whatever it happened to be, and brake a little harder next time you go around that one. So, yeah, I kind of get the idea. That would be pretty much what I would like to do as far as it goes to learn a track. Start off, you know, kind of, well, not ridiculously slow, but start off slower, and then just build yourself up once you start memorizing, you know, where your increases and decreases of speed should be as far as, you know, turning left and right. But that would be quite fun. So, you know, maybe tell me, how much did it cost, though, for the few laps? Something like that, a few $100 for a few laps? Which would still be worth it. Kind of a memorable lifetime experience, I would say. So, yeah, I've never had that experience, Tom, though. Were you doing some training or, you know, a cadet or something like that or what? Let me toss it on over to Lance, I guess. Lance, pick it up.
Yeah, that sounds like it'd be a lot of fun to actually drive. Yeah, we were just passengers, but I think you're thinking of the Nuremberg Ring or something like that over in Germany. That's the big famous test track. That's, actually, I think it's regularly a road. Anthony, ABLN.
Yep, I think you're right. It is the Nuremberg track. I remember it being on Top Gear a bunch of times. And, yeah, it was, I think we went around the track 3 times. And I can't remember what it was. I got it as a gift. I think my wife bought it for me for Father's Day. But it was probably like $300 or something like that. It was quite the experience. I got a, they film it for you. So I have a video and everything. If I can remember, I will post a link to the video on Discord in the FBI Discord. You guys can check it out because it was a blast. It was definitely memorable, something I'll never forget. It was wild. So, yeah, but I am making my final approach here, and we'll listen out. So I will be clear. This is KE8RUH. Everybody have a good afternoon and safe travels. Hopefully we talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, 73 Anthony, have a great day. We'll chat with you later. And I'll make a comment. I'm just kind of curious if anybody has ever seen some of the, I think they call them the TT, the Twin Turbo Racers, over on the Isle of Man off the place. And, now, I could be pretty wild, I would tend to think, if I were to ever get a crotch rocket, but those guys are insane. It's like, boy, all you need is like a bouncy ball or a bird or something to come out and you're splattered. I think there was one of the riders, I think it was father, brother, and uncle had all passed away from accidents. So, yeah, those guys are nuts, but that's too much for me. I enjoy speed, but that's a bit too much. I think I might have gone out of turn here. Sorry about that, Tom. Go ahead, Tom. Pick it up.
Oh, to answer your question, Dave, yes. I was on my way to law enforcement. I was a deputy explorer for L.A. County. And then I became a court liaison community service officer. And we had to learn how to drive the patrol cars, even though we didn't have the license parents, but they let us turn them on in class. And, of course, I was zipping all around Pomona Raceway in it because the other guys couldn't do it, so I did it. Showed them how it was done. A lot of fun. Let's bounce it over to Anthony. Or not Anthony. Anthony, see you later, by the way, 73. Lance, if you're still out there, pick it up. KJO.
Yep, 73 Anthony. I don't know if I have anything else to say. Go back to Dave Abelman.
Okay, very good. Well, let's see here. I've got nothing to say, so it's a time here. So let me quickly toss it over to Tom then.
Well, I couldn't tell if Lance was saying something or not. You got kind of be in a hole there, Lance, on your way to your KTH. So, and you get back in there, just jump on in.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here waiting for the bus now, so I just pull in.
Hey, Tom, did you ever happen to take one of the patrol cars out for the test track? We went out one time, a company I used to work for as a truck driver. We took our trucks out for the skid pad out at MSP out towards Lansing, and they gave us some just some pointers on what to do and what not to do as far as you know, losing your control or jackknifing and such. That was kind of fun, but I've seen some other guys do it purposefully where they'll take a bobtail semi and they'll, I don't know how fast they're going, it's kind of hard to tell, in reverse, and they'll be able to swing around without stopping, sort of like the Secret Service drivers with the presidential limo. And I think that would take some fuel. We ran into some of the other drivers. Well, they took the trucks around to some of the test tracks themselves, but they were talking to us and telling us I guess it's Bob Johnson, I guess, they had flown, well, the owner of their company had flown with years ago, and he also had some experience with them. I think whether it was World War II or Korea he had flown in, but I don't know if you know that, but Bob Johnson had been one of the former black sheep. So I guess he was also acquainted with Pappy Boyington as well too. So steered in a little different direction. Lance, over to you.
I gotta jump off. Got a phone call. KCKJ.
Yeah, I don't know what to say. I get in there.
Well, Lance, are you like me? Are you enjoying this nice, sunny day? I certainly am. Soaking it up, getting all that vitamin C. It's a nice welcome change for some of the overcast days we've been having.
Yeah, it was sunny earlier, melted a bunch of the snow, but right now we're back to overcast up here. I'm up in Grand Blanc right now.
Oh, okay. Sorry to hear that. Well, we got some partially cloudy skies, but mostly sunny, so. Well, maybe it'll come your way shortly here, then. Well, are you retired, or do you work? If so, what line of work are you in?
Well, I'm a long way from being retired. I'm an engineer for Chrysler. I work in the body department. When we're designing cars, I tell them where all the spot welds go, so I look at all the CAD and draw X's all over the car, and that goes into CAE, and what gets programmed into the robots, and all that jazz. But I am an engineer in the body in white at Chrysler.
Probably a better IT here, I think I forgot. WARIT. Well, do you work on more than one body vehicle at a time? Or do you kind of focus on one only? Wonder how that would be, though. Focusing on one would be kind of nice because you know it probably pretty well, but might get a little old, might have a little bit of a change of pace, but which would be kind of nice for working on multiple different body styles.
It depends on what the needs are. We kind of work on, mostly work on new programs, so things that are about to come out. So, but we try to stick to one program, but sometimes, you know, sometimes that isn't feasible, or you need to, you know, divide and conquer to get something done in time. And we're kind of a reactive group. We have to have all the sheet metal designed, and then we can weld it all together, but it's all due at the same time, so we only get a couple weeks to update all of our stuff, or everybody else gets a couple months, so it all depends what we need to do, and I'm kind of mainly focused on one program, but sometimes I'll have two or three, or a whole slew of them.
Okay, very good, very good. Well, just so you know, I do, I was telling Anthony earlier, pretty succinctly, basically what I do is I do alarm installation for commercial businesses throughout the Metro Detroit area. Well, that's basically my line of work. I don't know, I don't think I'd feel too bad about it, because Lance, that's kind of what I tell some other people, though, about retirement. I don't know if I'll ever retire. Maybe once I'm 6 feet under. But we'll see how it goes when I get to that age here. I don't have too much farther to go, which is kind of weird. Like, think even of an ending rather than just getting your start into it. So, get to be about that age where you're looking at it from a different direction. So, Lance, I think I'm going to clear out here for right now. Nice chatting with you. Hopefully we'll get to do some more. stop over here is when I run into the grocery store, grab a couple things real quick, and then I'll be out, and then I got some things to do, pull out some crap out of my van, get it reorganized better, and then put it all back in. Then I've been at some training tonight here, so. Anyway, 7-3 there, Lance. I'll clear on out, and listen out for your final. You have a great day. W-8-R-I-T.
Sally here in a similar line of work as Tom there. And, he does more access control, like the doors, locks, and stuff. But my parents are getting ready to retire, so they're looking at it from that time frame. But still early on. We gotta get there. But get there eventually. But still a long way out. Anyway, we'll say 7-3 is the
EBA. I just wanted to fill in very quickly. Yes, Tom and I work together for the same company, although he does he's a technician and I'm an installer. So we have different managers and different functions, but yes, we work for the same company. So we kind of have to watch out a little bit on our discussions sometimes as well, too. So anyways, talk to you later, Lance. W-8-R-I-T.
You're connected to CMN Network.
NADDF.
Connected to CMN Network.
FQN, Kilo Foxtrot 8, Foxtrot 2, remember Wyatt, there it goes, I'm on my Anytone 778, not right now, I'm on Echolink, I was using a base antenna, indoors though, so it's probably why I wasn't making it, I just got the coax cable for it today, so I'm testing it out.
Solid down there, Wyatt. This is W8DDM.
KFASQN, you're not coming in there good. I copied the first three words of your transmission, but the rest was a static.
Okie doke. Well, I guess that'll take care of that. Okay, my call is Whiskey.
KFASQN, you're still not coming in good.
Okay, my friend. Then 73.
Hi, Roger, 7-3 to you. Thank you for responding to me. I just started trying to troubleshoot my power supply. It was making like a low hissing noise. It's like audible. It wasn't really high-pitched when I went on mid and high. But I found out it was the AC to DC like transformer, and apparently it was like rattling one of the wires. Also, it's only rated for 15 amps max, and that's what my Anytone, I think, draws. So, I still like it, though. But, 7-3 to you, and KF8, this is KF8-FQN, clear.
Foxtrot Beats Echo Tango Quebec. Anyone out there?
You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network.
KF8AYL.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
Connected to KF8S. Go ahead. What's going on? This is WEAP Mobile.
Mobile, Alabama.
Walkie-talkie, rubber duck inside the car. Not quite there yet, but on our way. So, hey, I figured this would work. This repeater would be the best one.
Yeah, I don't have much of a good setup here, but the radio is hooked up to the 2x4 on a pizza pan.
And you got that. I know what radio you're talking on.
Yeah, the sound all compressed.
I can hear you. I can understand you. It's all it counts right now.
Yeah, I got to figure out how to fix it, though. Does my gain level, I'm only 5 watts. Maybe that's it. Well, anyways, it's my gain 50 and AMC level 50. So maybe I can tweak those a little bit.
Well, Jack said turn it up to 8 or 10 watts.
How do I put that right?
How's it going, Jack?
No copying, Jack.
That's a 10 watts.
Died anyway.
Well, Dave, QRO, increased power.
I give it an R. I give up.
5 watts, is that all you can muster? I don't know what... You can muster 10, can't you?
Yeah. I don't think it's, well, I don't know. It's not, maybe it's not working right. I don't know. I'm at 10 watts into the UMP, but the antenna's indoors, so.
Jack says, turn up the audio and open GD77.
How about this?
I don't know what that was. It got worse. Jack said to hook up the DB20G.
All right. Can you hear me now?
W8EAP. Yeah, you sound good there. Now you got some audio.
I must live in an aluminum house or something.
Is that the mini Kong or the full-size Kong?
This is the WT2 because I'm on my All-Star node.
Sounds excellent, Smithers.
How about this guy? This is the Kenwood KF8S.
Negative. Go back to the WT2.
Alrighty. Could always get my Motorola out.
Yeah, said try your DM32.
It'd help if I install, go on the All-Star node. How's this? This is the DM32 KF8S.
That's fine. That'll work. Any of those will work, really, except for the first one.
Well, the first one is on AC power, so it's usually listening. So I try to, I'll usually answer there first and then switch.
Remember, on the DM32, you got to talk into the bottom of the radio.
Or treat it like a telephone, I guess. Are you out and about? Or what's up? You driving the car?
I'm not driving. I'm being driven around. We got gas, grocery shopping, or get some Culver's. But we just decided to go to this one. So, yeah, I'm sitting in the parking lot over here.
Well, if you're just using an HT and an antenna, then it's sounding really good. Is it the new guy, the big... the Bofang Pro or whatever thing's called.
No, the little UV5R Mini. Oh, the antenna? No, I'm not using the big antenna.
That's pretty, it's doing pretty good. I guess if you're outside, you get a better signal with the antenna. Man, I don't get, I can't use any radios indoors. So I gotta have an external antenna.
No, I'm inside the car right now. I'm completely inside the car. So, I'm not outside. I'm inside the car. So, the antenna's bent way over. It's not straight up and down, Jack. Sorry.
What happened to Jack? He was there, he was here, and now he's gone. All right, enjoy your trip. I got to finish a couple things here. I got to go do the dishes now. Playtime is over for me for a little while. We'll chat with you later, KF8S. I'll be listening, though.
Okay, talk to you in a bit. I got my node on the dashboard. Look for my node when you get a chance. All right, catch you later. W8EAP.
You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.